So you're in for a special treat this morning. I'm going to be sharing the sermon slot today with a friend of mine named Tegan here in the front row. Tegan is a just finished grade 12 student from the Nanaimo Christian School, so he's freshly graduated. Congratulations, Tegan. Yeah. And Tegan is a passionate and probably borderline ludicrous person because he desires to be a pastor. So he is. He interned with me earlier this spring for a week, and we had a great week together. And he was working on building sermons and devotionals and things like that. And this isn't part of his internship. This is just sort of the real deal. And he was super willing and excited to be able to come and preach with us this morning. So we'll hear from him in a few minutes. We're going to be starting a three-week series called Core Christianity and talking around what are some of the core, most basic, important things of being a Christian. And this morning we're going to talk around faith. Next week, we're going to talk around baptism. And the third week, we're going to do some baptisms here at the church. We have four, maybe five people interested in getting dunked in water. It's a super powerful symbol of their journey with God, of being washed clean of their sin and being coming up to new life, just as Jesus has given us new life. And if you are interested in being baptized or you're thinking about doing it, please come speak to me and we can dialogue further on whether you want to get baptized. So talking about this morning around faith, can you imagine with me for a moment if you woke up tomorrow with some terrible news, whether it was a job loss or medical diagnosis or just that the current problem you've been struggling with hasn't disappeared, but even though you woke up to that, you didn't have the normal adrenaline shot, you didn't panic, you just had this unmovable, unshakable faith that rose up in you in that exact moment and met that need in your mind. That is what having sort of a strong faith looks like. It's something that we all work towards. Faith is often described as something as having complete trust in something, in someone or something. Complete and utter trust. Some things are easier to trust than others, but when it comes to having faith in God, that is what he's looking for. He's looking for complete trust. Trust is something that God has been chasing in his followers for thousands of years. In the Old Testament, you see it where he is looking to the Israelites to trust him. He gives them the manna, the bread from heaven. He gives them enough for a day, right? He's asking them to step out and have trust that there'll be food tomorrow. If you show me any great human relationship, there's two humans up there on the screen, any great human relationship, whether it's marriage, two coworkers, two siblings, friends, parent, child, any great, healthy human relationship, it won't be based around obedience. It'll be based around trust. It'll be based around that there is a mutual love and respect and trust that the other person has their best interests in mind. And as Jesus comes in the New Testament, he keeps calling his followers to a greater level of trust. It says in Romans 1:17, pull it up over here. It'll be up there on the screen as well. Verse 16, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Jesus, about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." Gentiles are just people who aren't Jewish. "This good news tells us how people makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith." From start to finish by faith. This trust that continues to grow in God. It says, "The scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It is by faith that we experience true life in the present here on earth." Faith in God. So that's what we're talking about. It's a very important part of our journey. And we cannot interact with God, obviously, without a growing and deepening understanding of our faith. It is just not possible because we can't see him. There's this component where we have to have faith that he exists, that he loves us, that he cares about us. A trusting faith deepens our relationship with God. There's a man in the New Testament that exemplifies this principle a lot. He's a man who has a son, and it's a son that he deeply cares about. Deeply cares about the son. There's a problem with the son, and there's much more awareness of this in the first century, and there is still a lot of awareness around spiritual activity in other parts of the world. But his son has an issue, is that he is possessed by an evil spirit. and it's causing to harm the Son, wanting to destroy the Son. And that is what Satan does, is that he looks to kill, steal, and destroy. He's looking to destroy this person's life. So this man, he's very passionate about his son. He cares about him. So he hears of Jesus doing, performing miracles and doing things that are unexplainable. So he brings his son to him. And I imagine this dad has tried doctors. He's prayed thousands and thousands of times. And then he has this really poignant conversation with Jesus in Mark 9. And Jesus says, "How long has this been happening? How long has the son had this issue?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy." So it's been going on a while. You can imagine the pain and the anguish that this dad's experienced seeing this happen. "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." If you can. He's not sure if Jesus is the one that's going to provide an answer. Jesus responds with this, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asks, "Anything is possible if a person believes, if they have faith." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief." It's a very powerful statement. I do have faith. I do trust you, Jesus. I do believe that you're going to be able to heal this. You're going to be able to fix this problem. But there's still part of me that wonders. Still part of me that has that tension. Still part of me that doubts that this is going to work. Jesus then goes on to heal the son, and it's a beautiful ending to the story. I'm going to invite Tegan up. Tegan is someone who I believe is very uniquely gifted to speak around faith and doubt in their relationship. So Tegan, if you can come on up. I'm going to pray for you before you bring the word to us. Mic turned on? Perfect.
I think so.
Yeah. Good. So let me pray for you, Tegan. God, thank you for Tegan. Thank you for his desire to love you and serve you. And I pray for clarity of mind for him. And thank you for the peace that you give him. Thank you for that he's passionate about the scripture and seeing people come closer to loving you. I pray we'd experience your blessing as he preaches. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's get into this. Let me ask you a question. I don't know about you, but have you ever had doubts about something or someone? Amen. Not agreeing with it, but it helps me. Where we all go. Let me give you an example. I have a family member who I have been praying for relentlessly for years. That he would come to know the Lord. But sometimes I don't think that's ever going to happen because I don't see a change happening. Has anyone else ever been there? Tell me, Lord. After the service. Sometimes we don't. What are some solutions when what are some solutions where you have begun to have doubts? One of our biggest downfalls is to one of my biggest moments where I began to doubt, or actually I'm currently doubting, is what am I supposed to do now that I'm graduating grade 12? because you've been in an element of structure. Now that structure is taken away from you. What do you do then? Where do I go next, O Lord? Doubting whether a relationship with a certain individual is possible right now. Doubting whether I'm worthy of that relationship. I'm sure when you were all teenagers, you probably got there at some point. We sometimes panic about it because it's like, what are we supposed to do for the rest of our lives? What is my purpose? What is my reason to be here? There's a simple Sunday school answer for that. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. But surely this is a 21st century issue. It didn't happen to any biblical characters. Well, if you've read the Bible, you would see that that's not true. Today we're going to dive into Peter and see one moment where he doubts. One moment where the man Jesus says, upon this rock, upon my people, I will build my church. And Peter doubts. Alright, let's do this. Which demonstrates that Peter is a human being. Today's passage is from Matthew 14. Should be up on the screen, and I gotta turn to read it. This is the word of the Lord. But Jesus spoke to them, this is as they're in a boat and a storm has kicked up. And Jesus went away from the disciples and kind of said, you know what? I need some alone time. I'll meet you there. So the storm kicks up. And it's very aggressive. They're terrified. And then something, or someone rather, appears. They're terrified. They question if it's a ghost. And Peter cries out. Because Jesus says, come to me. Peter says, Lord, if it is really you and not a phantom or a ghost, tell me to come out of the boat. Well, can someone tell me what happens next? Jesus says, yeah, it is me. Get out here. So, the New Living Tagan translation. Let's be honest here. Peter's terrified. But Jesus says, come to me, I'm right here. So Peter steps up the boat. And then he begins to doubt and he cries out to the Lord, save me, O Lord. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was scared. And began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately grabbed him and said to him, you have so little faith, Jesus said. Why do you doubt me? This microphone hates me. That's an honest question, though, is it not? Why do we doubt Jesus? It says when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid. In life, you're going to have wind and waves which we cannot control. You sound like Pentecostal and Baptist Church. Christ is not divided, though, amen? But in all seriousness, we all have the winds and the waves which are going to come up and Satan's going to use, as Pastor Christian so eloquently stated, to beat the crap out of us. So maybe Maybe you have a family member who is far from the faith. Maybe you have a cancer diagnosis which you have either told somebody or you're struggling with. Maybe you don't know what your purpose in life is. And all those things, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is a human issue which Jesus wants us to come to Him with. Jesus even says how little faith you have. That's a scary thing coming from Jesus. But He recognizes our humanness. That's why He uses us. Because we're interrelational. No matter how hard the doubt is, we see in James 1 this very encouraging promise. Count it all joy when you are faced with trials and temptations, my brothers and my sisters, for in these you are purified. Who wants to be purified today? Think on it. And so let's go on and look at a few other biblical characters. We see that in the Old Testament with Jesus, with God's chosen people. You just talked about the Israelites in a wonderful manner, I might add. Not to toot your horn, but I think you did a good job with it. But right? As God's chosen people, we think, oh, they would never do that. They would never doubt God. But they did. And they were sent to the desert for years, generations, because they doubted. How many times in the Old Testament do we see them cry out, O Lord, have mercy on us, for Israel has turned against you. Right after the Ten Commandments, Moses has been up on the mount, and he comes down to see them 20 or half an hour later, worshiping a gold calf because they don't trust God's presence and His activeness in their lives. But here's the redemption card, because there is always redemption from doubt. The redemption part is, it says in the scriptures, it says, when the Israelites came to the promised land, God instructed them, build unto me an altar at the entrance of this land to remember what I have brought you out of. To remember what I have brought you out of. Because it's always God that brings us out. There's nothing we can do that brings us out of doubt. He always brings us out of it. So if God's chosen people in the Old Testament can do that, then it's no surprise that with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, we start to doubt who we are, what we were made for, how worthy of that relationship we are, how worthy of that love we are, how worthy of our life we are. Within the last 3 weeks, as I've been going to church and studying, there's been 3 suicides within my community. Let's stop there. At that moment, I decided God is there because He wants to comfort them. So we prayed, oh Lord, give them peace and let them know that You are with them as You were with the Israelites in the promised land and are with us now. Satan is going to want to try to use, what's the time? Satan's going to want to use your pain. He's going to use me not having a biological father and mother who were not there to try and get me down and question, who am I, what was I made for, and what is happening? This is me when I found out that my brother was thinking about suicide. To make it a little more relational. God, where are you? I don't feel you, I don't see you, and I know. And they know that you're there. But you don't feel it. Well, it's a good thing our faith isn't based on feelings. Because you look at the crucifixion of our Lord and you see that he felt the pain too. I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to see a family member suffering from a cancer diagnosis, or someone struggling with mental health issues. I know how hard it is to be like, Lord, where are you in the midst of their trauma? Where are you in the midst of their pain? But as I pray every day, Lord, pull me to your sacred heart. Your heart that bled for them. There's a wonderful prayer I pray that is the chaplet of divine mercy. And it says, O Lord, for blood and water gushed forth, for the entire world, have mercy on us. So can I encourage you? Because we have to wrap this up eventually. You're going to doubt this week. I'm not even going to say maybe you're not, because you are in one way or another. So next time that happens, could you do this for me? Next time you begin, I encourage you to look back on what the Lord has done, like the Israelites in the Promised Land. Look back on what he has done and see that the Lord is good. Write it down and then maybe share it with another friend of mine. And then look back and be like, hey, God was working when that happened, because he was telling me, you have to trust. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to surrender and be washed over with the blood that gushed forth to the entire world? Don't ever doubt. I'm not going to say that because that's stupid, because we're still going to do it. But try to realize that there is life, even when your cross is going to crush you. Jesus said they must pick up their cross and follow me. My disability is my cross. But I pick that up and I surrender it to Jesus in knowing that he will take it and use it for something beautiful. Time? He will use you wherever you are for his kingdom, for his purposes. Don't you ever doubt this. It took me a long time, and I'm still learning my value. But once you realize that the blood that was shed on Calvary was for you and all people. You all of a sudden have this rush of joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, without those three things, we could not have life. Because it is from the Father that all life is given. It is from the Spirit that we are empowered. And it is from the Son we are sanctified. Would you encourage this congregation, O Lord, to dive head first into your mercy, your great abundance, which is for them. Lord, as we doubt, as we might even doubt you, O Lord, would we sense your presence today. The Lord be with you. May he bless you. Amen.